Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you would turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 13. As I look back on my life, there's a couple things I wish I would have done. One of those is I wish I would have gotten married sooner and had kids earlier than I did. I'm young, I'm 33, and though that's young to many of us in here, it's no 20-something. I had a lot more energy when I was 20-something. I could stay up till midnight and get up at 5 and be okay. If I do that now, you're going to wonder, what is going on? Has tragedy struck Matt? Another thing I wish I would have learned is how to play guitar. I wish I could go back in time, and I wish I would have learned how to play guitar. You never know when a spontaneous worship session might break out, and you've got that ready. And in addition, it would be nice to be able to sing songs to my wife along with an acoustic guitar. But I will settle for a cappella. These are just a few things I wish I would have learned, and these are all opportunities. And this morning, I'm going to be talking to us about the opportunity I want our dads to take hold of this morning. It's an opportunity that's found in Christ, and we see it here in Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. And again, I want to talk to us about the opportunity that our dads have in Christ. So let's go to the scriptures. Romans 15, 13 says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray. God, this morning I pray you would draw us in. Help us to focus our attention, focus our affection, focus our life around your scriptures. God, I pray you fill us up with truth, but not simply head knowledge for our minds to store away, but also that you would fill us with your truth so that it becomes heart transformation, and that we are changed in our heart and we're changed by our action and how we live outside of the church building. God, also help us to respond in love today. Lord, forgive me this week where I've fallen short of responding without love. God, I pray that you would work in me, help lead me so that I might love better. And God, I pray collectively for our church that we would do that. We would love better because of who you are, that you first loved us. God, we love you. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to first point out to us, as we talk about the opportunity we have as fathers, I'm speaking directly to fathers here this morning, but there's something for all of us. You as a dad in here, you have the opportunity to have the God of hope. To have the God of hope. We see that in our text. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, notice here, when you read this, hope is so central to the Christian life. And I want to point us to a text back in Romans chapter 8. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Romans 8, verses 21 through 25, talks about a kind of hope. This is written from the same man who wrote the rest of Romans. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says this, starting at verse 21. He says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Now notice something here. Hope is faith. Hope is faith here. It's not wishful thinking, man, I hope today is going to go well, or I hope for a promotion, or I hope something good happens. No, it's secure. This kind of hope is banking on something. And I want to say this, it's banking on someone. Because our faith and our hope is not simply just wishful thinking, it's banking on who Christ is, who he has been, and who he will continue to be. So this is a hope that will come. This is faith in Christ, and he's sturdy, he is secure. We don't look to the world as our hope. Look at verse 22. It says that. It tells us that the whole creation has been groaning because all created things are under a curse. Under a curse. If you watched any Disney movie, there's some kind of curse that has come over someone's situation. And that curse disrupts everything. It takes away abilities. It takes away longevity of life. And sin is that curse in reality. Sin is that curse, and it's affected everything, every part of life, all relationships, all abilities. Everything has been affected by the sin that came into this world, and we're under a curse. And what this idea of groaning here in verse 22, Romans 8, 22, is talking about is this kind of deep lamenting. The creation is crying, and we see this through natural disaster. We see this when we see the foundation of our actual house we live in cracking. That's not the way it should be. And I know you're right to get upset about that. There's things about this life that are not the way they should be. We know that. We experience that. We feel that. And as part of creation, we long for something better. The question I will throw out to my students, and I'll say, hey, what do you think is the number one thing people hope for the world for? You know what their answer is? Peace. Peace. They know, and they know their friends know, that the world is not the way that it should be. The world is broken, and there's a peace that we hope for, but it's not a peace found in the next presidential candidate. It's not a peace found in how strong our government can be or how great our country can be. Those are all good things, graces of God, blessings of God, but this is not the eternal kingdom. We know, and God has hidden eternity in our heart. That's where the hope is. That's where the life is found. That's where peace and joy come together and culminate. And we get to experience that on a deep, deep level. And so we know, verse 23, that if you're a believer, you're an adopted child. Once you were far from God, and Christ has brought you near, and you've been adopted into the family of God via Christ. And it also goes on in verse 23 to talk about the redemption of our bodies. That's a good thing. Some of us in here are suffering from a physical ailment. Some of us have a chronic illness. Some of us have health conditions that are so detrimental that it obstructs your way of life. But here's the good news. There's a hope ahead. There's a new body that God will give you. And we long for that. We long for that new body. We long for that new life. Anything you experience now will be made right because of Christ's redeeming work. So we see that redemption of our body. And we hope for what's to come. It's a faith in Jesus. And this is what Romans 8:24 says. It says, for in this hope we are saved. Saved. Saved from what? Sin, sickness, hell, shame. All kinds of suffering, all kinds of pains, all things in this life will one day come to an end. 70 plus years in this life will come to an end. And you'll be in glory forevermore with Jesus if your hope is in Christ, if your hope is in him. But until this, what does verse 25 say we do? We wait with patience. We wait with patience. Dads in here, you're up against a lot of things in this world. The world is pushing back on you, telling you to compromise. The enemy is whispering in your ear saying, hey, nobody's going to find out. This is the last time you'll do this. There are pressures and temptations coming your way, and it is too much for you to deal with on your own. The world is broken. Your job and the people you work with at your job, they are broken. And by your own success, you can't install a kingdom here that will last by your own strength. You can't do that. You can't control everything. But you do have a God of hope. You do have someone who has and who will. There's recently a man somewhere, and he worked a full-time job and then some. And when he went home, he would tell his family about all the successes, that he accomplished at work. And when he lied down, he thought about all the ways in which he could climb the ladder of success and assert himself, prove himself, and hear his coworkers' praises. But then all his dreams were dashed to pieces. He was let go of from his employer. He lost his job. He felt like a shell of a man that he used to be. And he had very little to share with his family, because nearly everything he prized was wrapped up in his job. Dads, just like that, the job of all your hopes can be taken, and you and your family need something that's more secure than a job, more secure than good health insurance, more secure than what the bank can offer. You and your family need something that's beyond this world. And so when you gather with your family, you can tell them about someone who accomplished more than you did by your own strength. You can tell them of the God of hope that we will get to know for all eternity. This is the God of hope. And I hope you see that this morning, that you see the God of hope is the hope. He will come through. Second thing I want us to see this morning is the opportunity, that there is an opportunity to be full of joy and full of peace in believing. Again, our main text, Romans 15, 13, says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So who's the source of this joy? Who's the source of this hope? It's God. It's God above all. It's God. Psalm 16, 11 says this. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. It goes on and on and on and on. He's an eternal God, and he brings us his eternal goodness. Then we have in Romans 14, 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we experience that joy, that peace? Well, it's by believing, believing in Jesus. That's the source. If you don't have Christ, you don't fully have the peace and the joy that you were made for. Now, don't get me wrong. Is there suffering and hardship as a Christian? Yeah. So dads in here that do have Jesus, we don't ignore it. We don't just push it aside because, you know, we just need to stay positive. No. We acknowledge the fact that there's suffering and hardship, but we run to a source. We run to a source. We acknowledge our shortcomings, but we run back and we repent. We say, hey, I can't do this on my own, but I know there's someone who has and who can and who will, and that's Christ. And dads, there are some of you in here I would characterize as men who have hope and peace and joy in believing in Christ. And for some of us in here today, you need to be connected to those men. There's some dads in here today that wouldn't characterize you. That's not how you would describe yourself, to be a person of peace and joy. So there's an opportunity for some of us here. And I want to ask you some questions to see if you are ready to go from, man, I'm struggling just to make it, to I want that peace, I want that joy in Christ. Can you show me somebody? That's one of the things about our culture, is they want to see this lived out. Sermons are great. We need to hear the Word of God preached. But you know what they also need to see in our culture? The Word of God preached by how we live. That's a sermon too. How you live is a sermon to the watching world that we have hope and peace and joy. Again, don't disregard the suffering, but show a way of hope. We're a people that can do that. So here's some questions for you, dads. If you're in here and you just don't have that, let me ask you some questions. Are you tired of self-medicating? Are you tired of your anxieties keeping you up at night because you feel like you got to control everything? You got to do it by your own strength, by your own knowledge. Are you done with hoping to find joy and peace in the things of the world? Like, you have tried to get the nice new whatever. You've tried to prove yourself amongst your coworkers. And man, that's just not enough. Well, that's a sign that you were made for more than what this world can provide. That is Jesus pointing himself to you, or you to himself. So here's what I want you to do. Simple thing. I love our Sunday school classes. And so what I want you to do is I want you to, first of all, if you're not in one, get plugged into one. Starts at 9 o'clock, and get connected to your Sunday school class. And go to your Sunday school teacher and ask them, hey, I want to find this joy. How do I find this joy? How do I find this peace? And they can pray with you. But not only can they pray with you, and this is for anybody in here, honestly. Doesn't have to just be dads. Any of us in here that are struggling and suffering can connect with our Sunday school teacher, and what they'll do is connect you to people in your class that can walk life with you. They can walk life with you. The reason why there's people in here who have such deep connections with each other is because they've made steps in order to have those deep connections. They've stayed faithful. They've gotten into those friendships and relationships. Not just because, you know, they want to hang out with people, though that's good and fun, but it's also those friendships and those times to be with each other throughout the week help us to walk in truth and in love with one another. The reality is, you need more than what the 2 hours on Sunday can offer you. That's not the whole of the Christian life. This is a place we come and worship. There's a purpose in this, but there's more than this. There's more than this. We need this, but there's more. And that's what God has brought people in the church for us to be about. I heard it said this way this past week. God was always looking for a people, not just a place. God was looking for a people, not just a place. And so he wants to be seen and experienced among you. So find those people. Go to that Sunday school leader. Get connected, and they will walk life with you. And you will experience that God who is the God of all hope and peace and believing. This is an invitation, and he's waiting. Third thing I want you to see this morning is that there is an opportunity to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 says that the God of all hope may fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's stop there. I think that's a line we can easily glance over and miss. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible often talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's one text in particular I want to cite. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, so if you're a believer, you have him, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He dwells in you. He's given to you. So, here it says that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was dead. And the Spirit of God, on the third day, resurrected a dead man from the dead. A dead person, right? Alive. And that same Spirit who has the power to do that lives in you. And it's the same Spirit that if you're a believer in here, worked on your heart, drew you in, drew you closer to Christ, helped convince you to believe. Because, yeah, we all got questions. Who in here doesn't have a question about life or God or the Bible, right? We all do. I do, and there's some unanswered. And that's okay. That's all right, because I'm not God, and neither are you. We don't know all the answers, and yet Christ brings us into relationship with him. And he says to us, walk with me. As he says to his disciples, follow me. And progressively, we will learn and grow in our faith. Not that we got it all at the moment of salvation, but that we would grow in sanctification in the likeness of Christ. He does all these things in us so that others might know Jesus through us. Again, God's not just about a place. He's also about a people, primarily about a people. This is that same Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And in addition, this verse tells us that he will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, at first glance, you may think, oh, that's just resurrection from the dead again. But actually, what he's talking about in chapter 8 of Romans is the struggle between flesh and spirit. And he's saying here that the Holy Spirit will give you life, meaning he'll give you strength to your mortal bodies because you struggle with with temptations in this life. You struggle with the imperfections of this world. And so he's going to give you power over temptation. And know this, remember this. Though temptation is strong, the Holy Spirit's stronger. Though temptation may seem too great to say no to, the Holy Spirit will you to say no to. And day after day, you can put off the deeds of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit's powerful. And like I talked about, he has the power to move us. He has the power to move us. In our main verse, he moves us to abound in what? Hope. In hope. In hope. Which we're going to get to a little bit more in a second here. But for the dad in the room, let me tell you this. If you are doing life by your own power, you don't have to. You don't have to. If you're doing life by your own strength, you don't have to. Willing yourself to get through another day. And if you think about that, like where you are, no matter where you're at with your job, no matter where you're at with your friends, no matter where you're at in your life, you actually didn't will yourself to get there on your own. There's no such thing as a self-made man, no matter how you cut it. Every person learns from somebody, whether they had a father figure or not. They learned from someone who stood in the gap, or they learned from a resource that helped them understand themselves. Every person has had somebody help you, somewhere to get information from, somewhere to bring you up, and opportunities God has given you. And let me just throw this out there as a side note. Anyone who speaks poorly of the God of the universe, God has shown them great mercy to even defy him with the mind that he gave them. Like, that blows my mind, the fact that he would be that merciful for people to exist the whole lifetime, defying him, saying horrible things to him. And yet, he graciously says, follow me. See this. There's a trail leading back. That I'm the source of the mind that I gave you, that you defy me with. That just blows my mind. Ultimately, he's pointing us back to him. To him. He's the source. James 1:17 says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from above. Everything you experience is from above. Your talent, your abilities, your success, your athletic ability, your grade point average, everything someone has in this life is from above. So is hard work still important? Yeah. But you didn't have it until God spoke it. Right? You don't have that power. God does. He gave it, and he allows you to have it. Life is more freeing when you live for him. And men in here, again, I'm going to point back to this. If there's not a man that you're connected with in the church that you would call your brother in Christ that you walk with, find somebody, walk with somebody, encourage somebody. Or you're a man that has that, find somebody who's on the outskirts. On Sunday mornings in Sunday school, it's easy, and I know this working with students, it's easy for us to find our crew and hang out with our crew and be with them. But I want you to do this. I want to challenge us in here, men, women included. Keep your head on a swivel. When somebody comes in, just acknowledge them at any time they come in. Could be 5 minutes left in Sunday school. Invite them in. Invite them in. Get to know them. Share conversation with them. I don't want to live on my own strength, and I don't want you to either. But there is an area in my life where I realize, and God convicted me of, where I found that I was living on my own strength. And that issue has to do with the issue of control. I don't want to poll the room here to say, do you have a control issue? Raise your hand. But I do. And recently God has kind of unearthed this in me, that I have a control issue with events I do, with things that I plan. I have control issues because I want it to be the exact way that I had planned it to be. I struggle with that. Now, I don't struggle with my friendships and relationships in that kind of way, but it's more so things that I have control of, like events I plan, schedule, all that stuff, calendar. I struggle with that. And when it doesn't go my way, there's this, what I've heard from another theologian say, there's this inner lawyer that lives inside of my heart. And he starts complaining and saying, I object! This is not the way it should be. Anybody can relate to that? Yeah, it's this conflict of selfishness and pride. And I got to lay that before the Lord, and I got to admit that to you. Like, I struggle with that. Pray for me. I struggle with that. If you see it, ask me. If you see me struggling and fighting, within reason, you know, I want to make something go smooth. I want to make it go well. But if you see me struggling and fighting for something that doesn't really matter, come talk to me. Say, hey, Matt, how's the control issues going? Well, I did throw it out there. So one of the things I like to do to combat this is memorize scripture. And I want to suggest this to you. You're not always there with pen and pad, journal, highlighter, and all the things, you know, on your table for your quiet time. So you can't always have a quiet time wherever you go. But what you can do is while you're in the car driving, while you're in conversation with somebody, when you excuse yourself to walk away from a meal, what you can do is say scripture to yourself. As some would say, preach the gospel to yourself through the word. And this is one that I've been putting to memory lately. And it's 2 Timothy 1:7. This I want to memorize and take root in my life because I don't want to struggle with the control issues I have. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. When I control things and I have my control issues, you know what I don't demonstrate? God's power, God's love, and the self-control that God gives me. I don't demonstrate those. And it says, he gave me a spirit, not of fear. He gave me the Holy Spirit, who is powerful. He can help me, and he can help you. So if you're a dad living on your own strength, no, you don't have to do that. That you can find the peace of the joy, peace and joy in the Lord Jesus. And he gives you his spirit so you can walk in his strength. These are opportunities to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you see that this morning. Fourth and final thing is there is an opportunity to abound in hope. The last part of Romans 15:13 concludes by stating this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, question for you. Does it say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have a little hope? Or maybe you have, you know, some hope? No. It says you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. So Vine's Expository Dictionary says the word abound means to be abundantly furnished, abundantly supplied, meaning at every angle, whether you're looking at God or the Christian life, you see hope on every side. You see hope as a Christian living for Christ. You see hope in God and who he is, that at every side there is hope. Again, not dismissing the hardships of this life, but seeing that there is more to come in who he is and what he does in us. He is the God of hope. Now, no matter what part of this life, we can find hope in him, but you may say, well, as a Christian, I'm losing a lot of friends because I'm following Jesus, and not everybody agrees with Jesus. Here's what I would say to you. God provides people. God provides people in his church. So you may be losing friends on the outside, but know that Christ has supplied friendships, relationships, people who point you to Jesus inside the church. And you may say, well, you know, financially things aren't going so well. So how do I have the God of hope? Like, this is a struggle. Well, you know what? I would say to you that there is an eternity that's longer than this life. And guess what? We're going to walk on streets of gold. Like, that's crazy. The streets, the bricks, the pavement is going to be gold. Like, the thing we prize so much here is going to be little to nothing there. That's awesome. And you may say, well, all right, how about this? Things are getting really bad for Christians here. You know, and people are saying things to me that are hard for me to hear, that are hard for my family to hear. And you know what Paul says? He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yeah. So no matter what angle you look at for the Christian life and how you see God, there is hope abundantly at every side, at every angle, just like a full room, a living room, furnished on every side. That's the Christian life. It's a life of hope. And for the dads in here, this is great joy. This is great news. At every angle, you can find hope. And it's provided by the power of the Holy Spirit living and working through you. And one thing I want to challenge you on and remind you of is that your family needs you to be a person of hope. They look to you, whether they say it or not, they're looking at your life. And they're saying, Dad, can you provide the hope that we as a family need to see? Can you provide that? Through prayer and time with God, you can. Yeah. So know this, that it's not all on you, that it's the Holy Spirit working through you, and that your family can see that through the time you spend with the God of hope, the Spirit gives you confidence to make those big decisions for your family. This has been huge for me. When I got married a few years back, there were some times where, man, I just didn't know what to do. Marriage and life decisions, those things for my family, it was big. I didn't know. So I had to seek the God of hope. When you go through hard days and you just don't really want to go back to work or you don't want to go back to your family, you know what the Holy Spirit can do? He can provide you hope. He can bring scripture to your mind that outweigh every objection you have to doing the things you don't want to do. He gives you that hope. He gives you that joy in reading the Bible together with your family. And dads in here, if you don't do that, do that. Read. You don't have to have a sermon. You don't have to have any points. Just gather your family together. Apologize for all the times where you didn't. I remember when I was 19, my dad brought us downstairs and apologized to me, my sister, and my mom for not doing that. And man, that moment reminded me and rocked my world in a good way. When a dad can say, I was wrong. I should have done this. I want to do this. And he would read scripture. So dad's in the room. If you haven't done that, it's not too late. It's never too late. Even if you have kids living in college and they come back home, do it then. Read. Read God's word. Gather your family around. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of things to say. He'll point out and highlight things that your family needs to hear. Remember, dads, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So in summary, dads, you have a great opportunity for yourself and for others around you. That you have the opportunity to have the God of hope. To have him who brings you joy and peace in believing. You have the opportunity to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have the opportunity to abound in hope. So, what do we do with this? Well, I've made a few points of application throughout the sermon, but I want to focus all of us, not just dads in the room, not just adults in the room, but kids in the room, teenagers in the room, young adults. All of us, at every stage of life, here's what I want you to do. Here's your one point of application if you didn't take any of the other ones home. Here's your one I want you to take home. I want you to do this, whether it's this evening or tomorrow morning, before you head to work or whatever you got to do. Kids, I guess, before you, you know, I don't know, what time, whatever time you wake up during the summer, you know, middle of the day, doesn't matter. Do that when you wake up. I want you to write down a list of all your responsibilities. You may be young and you got like two things you're responsible for, right? You may have a lot. You're a little bit older. Write down all your responsibilities. And what I want you to do is this. I'm going to do this this evening as well. Right off to the side, write who you think you trust the most with that responsibility. God or me? One of those two words right next to it. Write your responsibility out, then right next to it, write, who do you trust more in that area of your life? And then do this. Look at that list. And once you've looked at that list, repent. Be honest. Honesty will only just hurt you and backfire if you're not honest. If you're not honest, it'll only backfire. Right? Look at that list. Repent. Give it to God. Say, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. More, I want to trust you. And day by day, give those things up to God. If you're struggling in any of those areas in life, give those things up to him. And he will respond, and he'll give you hope. At this time, we're going to enter into a moment of response. At the end of our service, we like to conclude with a chance for you to respond to whatever God has laid on your heart. And so today, I know that God speaks in many different ways. 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us of that, that the Word of God teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, and it trains us up in righteousness. That's what the Word does. So my prayer in this room right now in this moment is that you wouldn't miss it and that you would see the Holy Spirit work on your heart. You would ask Him to do that. Invite Him in. Say, Holy Spirit, illuminate some things in me. Bring up some stuff in me. Help me repent. Help me acknowledge. Help me see what you want me to see. And He will do that at every angle and in every moment. And today, if you've not received the God of all hope, you can know Him through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know Him because of what Christ has done. And here's what Jesus has done. Jesus has lived a perfect life for us. He died on a cross to pay for your sins, your past, your present, and your future sins. But He didn't just die. He rose victoriously from the grave, offering you forgiveness of your sin, a relationship with Him, and eternal life. And here's a question I asked last week, and it's this. Would you rather be judged for your sin, or would you rather someone else be judged in your place? Would you rather someone else be judged in your place? So today, if you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, a few of our ministers will be down front here. And if you're watching with us online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen to make a decision for Jesus. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. God, I pray that You would help us move and be empowered to move like only You can. Open our eyes today. Open our hearts today. Show us our need. Work among us in this time. We love You and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?